So you're Mr. Benedict, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now the Honorable Mr. Corwinus is going to chair your hearing at this time, sir. So please just hang on, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Well, good morning. Can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Michael Scott Benedict, ADC 093753.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A, parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members conducting the hearing with you today. At this moment, we're authorized for a four-member panel. And if you can see on your video conference screen, the board member closest to you, pardon me, is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And to my right is Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. I'll begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Michael Benedict, ADC number 093753, is 60 years old. He is certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for 31412A, regular parole, absolute discharge or home arrest. The crimes of attempt to commit molestation of a child, a dangerous crime against children, occurred on or about the dates between February 1st, 1985 and November 30th, 1989. He was approximately 27 years old at the beginning of his offense cycle. He pled guilty and was sentenced on September 16, 1992, to include 15 years incarceration and lifetime probation. He was released from the Department of Corrections on August 18, 2007. His probation was revoked on September 19, 2013 for violation of several rules of his program. He was sentenced to 10 years with a sentence end date of July 17, 2023. He also has a Maricopa County adult probation detainer. Does everything sound correct so far, Mr. Benedict?
Yes, sir.
Say the original charges for the attempted molestation of his two daughters. I'll read a summary of his probation violation, which resulted in Mr. Benedict being returned to ADC. A probation violation report was filed on August 9, 2013 by probation officer Jennifer Crothers. In the report, it noted that although Mr. Benedict attended sex offender treatment regularly, he failed to comply with program rules and after 5 years was discharged unsuccessfully. His treating therapist, Rick Spanner, stated that he was discharged for engaging in stalking behavior towards children and his acknowledgement of not wanting to follow court-ordered community protection rules. Mr. Benedict admitted to stalking minor children in the community. He would go to stores and malls on the weekends and follow unknown minors through stores. Mr. Spanner reported that Mr. Benedict told him, "I'm a rule bender and we'll find ways to get around the rules. I like freedom of bending the rules. I like the easy way out. I will use my way around whatever rules they give me." Mr. Benedict informed his therapist that he would follow the mom and the dad and little girl. That's all stalking. He went to Desert Sky Mall on multiple occasions without permission. He failed to report his directive on a few occasions. He associated with Joel Werner, a convicted sexual offender, without prior approval from his probation team. Mr. Benedict placed himself in situations where he would have minor contact. He failed to comply with imposed curfew and possessed stimulating materials without prior approval from his probation team. And I'll just read that as a summary. According to Mr. Benedict's institutional progress report, he has had limited programming in ADC. He has a release plan which includes pursuing employment as a mechanic and living in a halfway house. He's had limited discipline in ADC from 1992 through 2004 with no tickets since being returned in 2013. This appears to be his third hearing, with his last in 2007 under his previous sentence. He has one letter of support in his parole request packet, but also a letter opposing from a victim. It should be noted that we also have a March 12, 2018 letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing parole. Mr. Benedict, this is your first time before the members of this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you tell us about the offense that resulted in your incarceration?
I sexually molested my daughter all three of my daughters, and I don't know how far do you want me to go with that?
Well, certainly I'm not trying to push you into a corner to get into super graphic details. I guess we're just trying to understand where you're at in the rehabilitation, you know, what led to this offense, so that this board can make an effective decision and a vote based on the information that we gathered today and the totality of your case file.
Okay, what led to it was I made the choice 100% to act out on my children. Back in the 80s and 70s, I felt more comfortable around children than adults. My adult communication skills were very lacking. And sexually, I got very stimulated sexually with children. I felt more comfortable around them back then. And I prayed on them. And especially being a father, you know, I definitely shouldn't have done that. I have to admit that my first 4.5 years out there, I was quite successful. I was doing quite well in the community. My problem was I stopped communicating with my probation team, my support team, and felt isolated. I isolated myself, and I thought I could do it myself. And I didn't need my support team, and I absolutely do. That's one of the huge things about a support team. And I recognize that even if I don't make parole and I have to do the next 2 years in here, that when I get out, that is going to be my main 100% commitment, is to be honest and forthright. Like I said, my first 4.5 years, my probation officers would come over to my home and we would sit down and I'd talk and I was completely honest with them. I said, here's what problems I'm having. They'd have great suggestions. And I talked to my support group in therapy. And I was doing quite well. I was very happy. But my last 2.5 years, it's my fault. I failed to keep the probation rules. I failed to talk honestly with my group and my therapist and my probation team, my support team, and put myself in a really bad position. And I understand by not keeping the probation or parole rules that it does put the community at risk also.
Thank you for such a detailed statement, Mr. Benedict. I think you touched upon some of this information already, but how have you rehabilitated or changed since you've returned to the Department of Corrections in 2013?
When I came in 2013, my first few months, I was extremely frustrated with myself. I was using negative feedback on myself, telling myself I was worthless, a lot of things my father told me. But the last few years, I've really concentrated on my successes out there. And, okay, thinking about what led me up to the part where I decided not to communicate with my support team. And I know exactly what it was. I started overworking. I got in a bad, unhealthy relationship with a woman, which is adding a whole lot of stress and complications in my life, which I did not. That is definitely a trigger. Stress, anxiety, that leads me into my deviant cycles. So when I look back at it, the last 4 years I've been in here, I've really been concentrating on, you know, I'm not going to be in here forever, and I might not make parole. The fact is, when I do get out, here's the things that I have to do to stay healthy. I know exactly where I went wrong. I overstressed myself. I did not talk to my support team. I have a tremendous support team. I really do. Especially if I do make parole and I get to get back into my classes and my parole team. I mean, I will never not talk about things that are bothering me. I mean, that is a big red flag for me. You know?
Thank you, sir. I think you've articulated yourself pretty well. I'm going to be very blunt, but do you still find yourself attracted to children?
I do not have pedophilia. I do. And that is something I have to absolutely control at all times. I mean, I'll find myself watching TV. If a commercial comes on with a child on it, I change the channel. You know? I did the same thing on the streets. I did my first 4.5 years, I really limited all contact. Every time I had contact, proximity, or direct contact, if a child talked to me, if a child called, I called constantly. You know? So I know it's very important. My environment, my thinking is number one. I cannot tell you that I do not have pedophilia. I do. And it is something that I just really have to nail down on. And when I have these feelings, I need to call my support team. I need to use relaxation techniques. I need to do something else, change the subject. You know, go work on my lawn or whatever. Go, you know. But communication is the key for me, because all of my crimes were done in secret. And when I keep them in secret, then it propels me in that direction. But when I expose myself and say, here's my thinking to my sister, my support team, my mom, my boss, and say, here's the issues I'm having right now. And once I get it out in the open, it's not a secret. And I can get good advice from my support team, say, hey, you need to go here, you need to go there. You know, if you have to, go down to the police department, turn yourself in, whatever you have to do. So, I'm tired of failing. And I really do have a lot of successful things in my life that I can do. And I failed, and here I am.
Okay, sir, I'm just going to ask a few more questions before I ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions for you. I do want to commend you for having limited discipline in the Department of Corrections since your return. It would seem that you had you've had little discipline, so I can only assume that you've stayed out of trouble in these recent years.
Yes.
I will ask you, it looks like you don't have much in the way of programming. Why is your programming limited?
As far as getting into the sex offender program, they don't have it here. Look, I did try in July of 2016. I wrote the sex offender program and asked them, hey, can I please get back into the sex offender program? I never heard a response. I talked to the CO4, CO3s, and they actually emailed it. It's just, I don't know why they have not moved me over to one of the yards with the sex offender programming. As far as the other programming, that's mine. And I chose not to just, you mean the anger management, empathy programs and stuff like that when they're on the yard? Is that what you're...
Yeah, well, I just noticed that in your case supervision, your institution progress report, it would seem that you had very little programming. Sometimes people have quite a bit. And not just sex offender treatment, but various classes, development, programming.
Right. Yes, I the only thing that they ever sent me was that I have to take the, I forgot what class it was. There's only one that they recommended. It was cultural diversity. Because I've completed everything else in my first stint. drug, and sex offender. I've actually completed the sex offender, at Winchester. But that's interesting that you say, yes, I have very no discipline here, and that's something I've been thinking about for years now. Go, why is it that I can keep DOC policy, but I can't keep probation policy? You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous when I look back at it, you know? And if I do get this grant, I mean, there is nothing I'm not going to do that the probation team or the parole team tells me to do, you know?
Thank you, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Mr. Benedict, were you ever on lifetime probation, or are you on lifetime probation?
Yes, I was on lifetime probation for 6 years after.
And are you on lifetime probation now?
When I get out, no probation.
Okay, and then I just wanted to get your reaction. There were a couple of statements that have are in some of the reports that we have, and it's a quote from you, I guess. It says, "I'm a rule bender, and we'll find ways to get around the rules." Quote. Another quote. "I like the freedom of bending the rules. I like the easy way out. I will weasel my way around whatever rules they give me." And that's another quote. And then from another statement that we have, it's the statement that's made, "Michael is still a master manipulator and now knows what else he needs to do to avoid being caught." What is your reaction to those statements?
I believe the original questions, the original statements that I made, I think I was talking to my probation team, and they were, I'm not exactly sure, but yes, when I was starting to lie to my probation team and bend the rules and going, yes, I admitted to that 100%. I certainly did.
Okay. And the other statement?
What was the other one?
The other statement, that you're still a master manipulator and now know what else you need to do to avoid being caught?
I certainly can say that in my past, absolutely. I absolutely am a master manipulator. But, you know, the last, I'd say, 7-8 years, I personally don't believe that I manipulate people. It's something I don't think that I do. When I'm talking with people, when I'm dealing with people, I'm not out to get something out of them at all.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings.
When I lied to my probation team, absolutely, that is, you know, that's manipulation. When I'm saying everything's fine and it's not.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Benedict, just a quick correction here, because my colleague caught this. When I looked down at your aims, I saw a Maricopa County Clerk of Court on with some open dates from 2013. I thought you were still on adult probation. So when you released from the Department of Corrections, your lifetime probation was lifted?
Yes. I'm doing 10 years presumptive on the second count right now for violating probation.
Thank you, sir. I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions.
No, sir. Okay.
Mr. Neal?
No, sir.
Okay, I'm going to continue with the hearing at this point, and first I will ask if you have any supporters in the room who would like to speak to the board. Okay, just want to make sure, because we do have some individuals in the room, and with no supporters in the room at this point, I will ask about victims' representatives and the order. Again, Ms. Moody, is there an order that's appropriate?
I think the victim's representative is going to come first in the prosecutor.
Okay, thank you. Ma'am, if you can approach the podium. And ma'am, I recognize that this is emotional and probably very uncomfortable. So, again, you'll be addressing the board, not the inmate. and we have a Kleenex up there. So if you can state your name.
Alexis Berghaus.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
You have a letter from me.
Yes.
I have four daughters who do not get off the hook in 10 years. They do not get off the hook in 25 years. They are dealing daily with everything that he put them through. He plea bargained on down to two charges, and that was because the rules at that point in time allowed that to happen. We know there are other victims. We know that my children are adults now, and they don't have the fear of him, but we are very afraid of society. We are very afraid of what he will go to be around children. He hasn't had the type of rehabilitation to stop those deviant thoughts, those deviant behaviors, and those are words that he has used in the past. When we had his revocation hearing, he was revoked, as you have in your information, because the parole officer was frightened over what she was seeing, and she knew the danger to the society, to the community, from him being out. When we had that parole hearing, the judge at the time actually apologized to us that all he could do would be grant 10 years. And I understand that because the way rules work, that it may not be the full 10 years, but I just ask, listening to what he has said and the admissions that he's made of who he is and what's going on, that we let him serve the full time. I was not aware that there was no lifetime probation when he's done. I'm appalled by that. My daughters are going to be horrified to find out that. I'm sorry, I just... This man was able to molest my four daughters while living in the house with me. He knew my routines, so he would take advantage so that I wasn't out in the open as to what was going on. But because of him, when he was first arrested, I lost my children. I had proof that I wasn't an active participant in what he was doing. And I just don't believe that he's changed. I just believe that if he's set free, we're going to have a lot of other innocent children that are going to be subject to him. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to thank you as the panel chairman for approval for the board today. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman and members of the board.
Good morning.
I'm a member of the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. I work specifically in the Sex Crimes Bureau, East Division. I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about this case in particular and where he is as far as the status. You have a lot of information about the probation revocation that occurred in this case. The defendant in this case was sentenced to two different counts. On the first count was the 15-year probation, or Department of Corrections term, and then the second count was a lifetime probation term. When he violated that term in 2013 to the point where they basically threw their hands in the air and said, we can't do anything for him, we're going to send him back to prison, for lack of a better term, he burned that count, which means when he comes out, he does not have any lifetime probation, he does not have sex offender terms, and he doesn't have any other protection other than sex offender registration. The problem with sex offender registration is that's what it is, registration. Put your address down, they send out flyers, that's it. There's no oversight. Nobody's looking at what you're doing. Nobody's making sure that you're complying with your sex offender treatment or attending classes or even going to locations where children aren't at. By the defendant's own admission, he spoke today about he is an active pedophile. there are triggers. There are things that make him have these fantasies, including stress. There is no support system out there who's going to watch over him and say, hey, you're overly stressed out. We need to make sure that you're not in a situation where you're near children. He talks about the support system. However, the real support was lifetime probation. In our bureau and in sex offender crimes, we now go about the practice of implementing multiple lifetime probation tails for situations such as this, meaning if he were to burn one, he comes out and he still has the protection, because that is our tool to protect the community, those lifetime probation tails. That ensures the oversight that's necessary, the forced treatment, the compliance with the orders that he can't have contact with the victims, which he did in this case. He can't be around children, which he did in this case. He can't have contact with other known sex offenders, which again, he did in this case. So when he comes out, he's coming out and he's going to have to register, but he is not going to have the oversight that he had before because he violated it so badly. Obviously, there's nothing that we can do about it at this point other than ask the defendant to serve the full term he was sentenced to in the Department of Probation or Department of Corrections. The only real thing we have at this point is that is our protection. Most of the consideration is protection for the community as well as serving time for the crimes that he committed. You heard the victim guardian speaking today. Clearly what she had to say is very emotional. It's difficult for her, it's difficult for her children, and I'm sure it's difficult for the defendant's family as well. The problem is that he pled in this case, which means he signed to two counts. One of those counts represented his daughter Andrea, the other count represented Julie. When he violated the lifetime probation, he violated what was imposed upon him to represent a punishment for Julie's case. As a result of that, the judge sentenced him to 10 years in prison. That sentence would not be served or would not be fully served unless he's asked to serve the full time. So that sentence represents that victim. He was charged with 7 counts in this case. If this case were to go to trial today, he would have multiple life counts behind him, based on the victim's age and the acts that were performed. Given that, we ask that he serve the full 10 years as was imposed and was maximum that the judge could impose at that time. I think at this point, that's about all the information I have for you. Pierre, do you have any questions specifically?
Just more of a follow-up on that is I want to thank you for at least explaining the current state of sentencing. Again, I need to maintain detachment here as far as an independent voting member and keeping the case independent, but I did wonder about generally how the probation, lifetime probation versus not lifetime probation was being dealt with in the current state of affairs. And I do want to thank you for appearing before the board today. I'm going to ask the full board members if they have any questions for you.
I just like to say thank you for the explanation. There's a lot of information that's useful for a long time for us.
Yes, I do appreciate it.
If it helps at all, just for your further information, a lot of the times in cases we don't, every stipulation we do, because we have statutory, are able to do the lifetime probation, our stipulations are not less than 10 years, and that's a lot of that is because we don't believe that it's even possible to go through any sort of treatment without a minimum of 10 years treatment. And this defendant is essentially an untreated sex offender at this point. So, thank you.
Thank you for your time. Before we continue, Ms. Moody, does that cover the victim's representatives for this? Okay. Then we'll continue with the hearing. Mr. Benedict, we're getting very close to the end of the hearing. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is there a final statement you would like to make before the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else you feel that needs to be said?
I thank you. I thank the representative of my victims. I appreciate what she said. I was listening wholeheartedly. And that's it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Benedict. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that it is the board speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if we'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. And we want to thank you for appearing before the board, Mr. Benedict.
Thank you for having me.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I think I will begin the dialogue with some simple language, and that is based on the serious and deviant nature of the instant offense and its failure to abide by the conditions of probation. I do not believe that the supervised release of Mr. Benedict would further the interests of justice nor be consistent with the safety and welfare of the public. But again, that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, sir, Mr. Neal.
I agree with you in regards to the explanation and everything because he's serving the 10-year sentence because he violated probation. I have no intention of trying to release again because that's why he's where he's at, because he couldn't abide by the rules.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Yes,
Mr. Pinos, I agree, and I believe community supervision is not appropriate for this individual.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Dr. Wright.
I agree. He would be a threat to society and the citizens of the great state of Arizona.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And again, my motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge or home arrest for Mr. Michael Benedict, ADC number 093753. And based on the year of offenses, I would ask for 1 year set off.
Agreed.
And that's my motion.
Agreed.
Seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed upon by Mr. Neal, and agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. Released tonight, pardon me. I'm getting tongue twisted today. Release type denied, again, is regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. And reasons for denial are as follows. One is a serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, multiple victims, violation of previous probation, prior criminal history, I'll ask my colleagues if lack of program is appropriate. I already see three programs that he's taken.
Yes, especially sexual offenses. He should have some of that, although it's not often what he is, but he should have that.
Okay, needs to, yes, thank you. That's one that's often overlooked. On release side, he does have a release plan. Good demeanor during the hearing. He does have a letter, but we have no family or community support system in the room. So is that a check? All right. Anything on the other category? Okay. Okay, Mr. Benedict, you heard deliberation, and the motion was to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. The votes were unanimous. We agreed upon a one-year set-off. And did you hear the reasons for denial?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, we want to thank you again for appearing before the board today, Mr. Benedict. You'll be certified for another parole hearing in approximately 1 year. We don't set the dates. In the meantime, we encourage you to pursue any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections. And this will bring the hearing to conclusion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Please put the seal.